Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. We're sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, which is dedicated to restoring the truth of God, the love of God, and the right relationship of God the Father and Jesus Christ through the grace of God. And Church at Home is the safe place to begin. What do I mean by that? You're not bothered by having to go to a church where there's going to be someone coming up and saying, "Brother, do you know the Lord?" You're not going to be bothered by saying, "Well, if you want to give your heart to the Lord, why don't you stand up?" No, you don't even have to raise your hand. All you have to do, they've made it so easy that all you have to do is just look at the preacher standing in the pulpit and you're saved. Well, as we have seen, God is serious. Christianity is serious business. Understanding the Bible takes a lot of work, and it takes love and truth and obedience. All of those things are necessary. Now, we've been going through understanding the prophecies concerning the return of Christ, the great tribulation. What is going to happen? We have seen how that the time has been limited to 7 years at the end. And that in the midst of the 7 years, that's 3.5 years, then the one who is the beast power is going to break the covenant. And that's going to usher in the great tribulation. We have seen from the book of Revelation chapter 6 how that the first 6 seals come in quite rapid succession, and the 6th seal is an astonishing thing that happens. And every eye is going to see it. No one's going to escape understanding this. It will be the sign of the Son of Man when the heavens are rolled back as a scroll. Then they're going to see that new sun out there in the universe. And everything's going to come to a standstill after that. People are going to run to the caves and the cracks in the ground, looking up into the heavens, wondering, is there any more coming? Then all of a sudden there will be a great silence, as we saw. The winds will quit blowing. Then the ceiling of the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude. Then for that space of time will look like things will calm down. But then again it will become more intense. Let's see the prophecies in the Old Testament of the shaking of the heavens and the shaking of the earth and what it's going to do to men and how they're going to react. And we're going to see that progressively through all of this, because Satan the devil is the god of this world and Satan the devil is deceiving all men to go against God, that they are going to become more angry. They're going to become less repentant. And they are going to build up to a point that in that last year and a half, the heavens and the earth are going to be shaken again with war and with plagues and with things that will be absolutely mind-blowing. And the last year and a half is going to be more intensive than the first 2 years. So let's come to Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, and let's see the scriptures concerning where God said he's going to shake the heavens. Verse 9, "And men will be brought low and humbled, for give them not. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty." Because they're going to look up and see this sun out there. They're going to look up and know, oh, this is God. Others will say, no, it's an invasion from outer space. These are aliens. But it's really God. Notice what's going to happen. "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." Because what happens here, with the rolling back of the heavens as a scroll, that begins the day of the Lord. You hear it prophesied throughout the Old Testament. The day of the Lord. Yes. Here it describes it, verse 12. "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every proud and haughty one, upon every exalted one, and they shall be brought low." And that's what's going to happen. Imagine what these armies are going to think. Imagine how they are going to respond. Now, they're going to be able to recoup from this because the book of Revelation shows that more goes on and intensifies after the sealing of the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude. Isaiah depicts this time when the heavens are shaken. And the pride of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to terribly shake the earth. Then the men are going to realize, oh, these idols are not saving us. Look, they're nothing. Twite says there in Revelation 6, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now here in the book of Haggai, it tells us exactly how it's prophesied here. It's going to affect the powers of the heavens. It's going to affect the atmosphere. It's going to affect the earth, the dry land, and the sea. Now here's what God says in Haggai, the little minor prophet of Haggai. Haggai 2 and verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, it is yet a little while. Now, as God views time, even though this is thousands of years ago, it's just a little time because God inhabits eternity. Yet in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, every nation on earth. The whole earth is going to be affected. And the desire of all nations shall come, that is Christ. So it's leading to the return of Christ. Let's see how Isaiah expresses it here in Isaiah 24. Because God has a controversy with all nations. That's why God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. And this has to set the stage for the final year and a half of the Great Tribulation. And as we will see when we get into Revelation 8 and 9 and 10 and 11, and we get into 14 and 15 and 16, that they are going to intensify in power, in plagues, in death, in destruction. And you probably are going to be thinking, well, there are going to be a lot of people die. Yes, but there will be some who will survive. How many will survive? We don't know. But we've seen in tragedies and in difficulties that people survive in some of the most horrendous conditions. And by the time that the resurrected saints come back with Christ from the resurrection and the sea of glass, and we'll see that a little later, the whole earth is going to be taken over and the kingdom of God ushered in. Now here, Isaiah 24, verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste and turns it upside down and scatters its inhabitants. That's virtually what's going to be. The whole world's not going to know what's happening with this. It's not like any earthquake that we have ever experienced. Now here in Hollister, we live in earthquake country, and every once in a while we get an earthquake. And every time we get one, I think, what is it going to be like when God shakes the whole heaven and the whole earth, turns it upside down? Verse 4, the earth mourns and languishes, the world withers and languishes, the proud of the earth wither. The earth is defiled under its people because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant because of the sin of men, of following Satan the devil, of following the governments and religions of this world. Yes, indeed, that's why it's called Babylon the Great, in rebellion against God. Therefore the curse has devoured the earth, and they that dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the people of the earth are burned, and few men left. Verse 15. Let's see what it says here concerning the glory of God. See, when everyone looks up and sees the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they watch the sunrise and the sunset, and which one begins the day and which one ends the day. See, that's why at that last year and a half, and the literal time of the resurrection and the literal time of the return of Christ, though we know preliminarily by the framework of the holy days that it pictures Pentecost and trumpets and atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. That pictures a sequence of events there. But because of the turning of everything upside down and the shaking of the heavens and the earth, no one's going to know which day is which. God alone is going to know that. Now let's read here in Isaiah 24 and verse 15. Therefore, glorify the Lord in the east where the light dawns, the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. This is depicting the repentance of Israel, and it is also depicting the repentance of the 144,000. But I said, Isaiah responds back to God when he saw this vision. Leanness to me, leanness to me, woe to me. Looked out and saw deceivers deceive, even treacherously. Deceivers deceive. Dread in the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be. Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be chaos and confusion and terrible things taking place on the earth. And it shall be, he who flees from the sound of dread shall fall into the pit, and he who comes up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, ripped back, and the foundations of the earth quake. Here's the prophecy of that. Giving more details is actually what is it going to be like to live through that time. That's going to be awesome indeed. The earth is broken, yea, broken down. The earth is crumbling, yea, crumbling to pieces. The earth is tottering, yea, tottering. Like a drunkard, the earth is staggering, yea, staggering. See, its orbit is all out of place. It's turning on its axis is confused. The moon is probably out of its sequence, too. And the area around the earth is all disturbed because of the ripping of the heavens open and the appearing of the sign of the Son of Man. Verse 20, like a drunkard, the earth is staggering, yea, staggering, and it rocks to and fro like a tree hut. The transgressions are heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day, the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. That's going to be something. No one is going to escape the day of the Lord. Now you know why it says, woe to you, desire the day of the Lord. What is it to you? It's a day of clouds and gloominess, death and destruction. You see, the judgment is coming upon this earth. The return of Christ is going to be a horrendous and tremendous event. Let's read a little more of it here. Here it is prophesied in the 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Now let's continue on in verse 22. And they shall be gathered as prisoners are gathered in a dungeon, and they shall be shut up into prison. After many days they shall be punished. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun shall be ashamed. For the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, and gloriously before his elders. So it's going to end up with the return of Christ coming to Jerusalem. There it is, quite a thing. Shaking of the heavens, shaking of the earth, and the punishment that comes upon all the nations. Now let's continue on. Let's come to Isaiah 13 and see another prophecy of the day of the Lord. Now, why don't you do this if you have a computer, which you probably do, and you have a Bible program with a concordance, which you probably do. Why don't you look up every place in the Bible where it talks about the day of the Lord? And see what it says. Look at those prophecies, and you will see this is a tremendous, tremendous thing that is going to happen. This is going to be absolutely dynamic. This is going to be, you know, like we've been reading, earth shaking and heaven shaking. Let's pick it up here in verse 4. The noise of a multitude in the mountains as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of kingdoms, of nations gathering together. The Lord of hosts gathers an army for battle. We'll see that back in Revelation, the 8th and 9th chapters. Tremendous armies. This is going to be a fight to the death. But God Almighty, who lives forever, is going to win. And the resurrected saints are going to come back to the earth with him after they're resurrected, and we are going to set up the glorious kingdom of God. But this whole Babylonian system that is on this earth, led by Satan the devil, deceived by Satan the devil, and all of the world's leaders and everything, all deceived, they're going to fight against Christ until death. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. We'll see that's the army of 200 million. Can you imagine an army of 200 million? 20,000 armies of 10,000 apiece, strung out all the way from China, clear all over to the Holy Land. Never will there have been such an army as that. We'll see that in Revelation 9. But here's part of it, you see. The Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole earth. Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Oh, these are awesome days. Oh, you read through these things and it takes your breath. And you think and you wonder, how much can I take? Well, you better make sure that you're secure in Christ. You better make sure, as I said, that you're on God's side. Because this is breathtaking. This is awesome and gruesome. But it's going to happen. And perhaps out of all the human beings that are alive on the earth today, and maybe by the time Christ returns, there will be close to 10 billion people on earth. And if that's the case, and one-tenth of them survive, that means that 9 out of 10 of every human being alive will be destroyed by the plagues, by the wars, by the famines, by the starvation, by the earthquakes, by the floods, by the droughts, and all of those things. Let's read on. Therefore, all hands shall be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. Whew. No breath left in them. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain like a woman who travails. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces are like blazing fire. They're just so out of it. It's going to be a traumatic event when this happens. You see, it's a fearful thing, as it says, to fall into the hands of the living God. So we need to ask ourselves, what is it that I want? Do I want to be caught in this? Now remember, we read, pray that you're able to escape all these things. Well, if you're in Christ's hands, you will. One way or the other. You'll either die and be faithful in the grave, or you'll be martyred and spared from the things that are going to happen, because it's going to be terrible. Then you'll be resurrected. Have eternal life, and all the pain and all the misery, everything will be forgotten. Then we'll have to help the whole world recover from it. Now notice, verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation. He shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations shall not give light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not reflect its light. That's why only God knows the day or the hour, because no one else can figure it out. Because the heavens and the earth have been shaken. The moon is out of its course. The sun is out of its place. The earth is out of its place and is probably spinning on its axis like a drunken man, because the poles of the earth will have been moved by the shaking of the earth. Everything's going to be discombobulated. Now why? Why? Why is God going to do this? And let's understand, for all of those of you who believe just in the loving side of Jesus, remember, not only is he a loving Savior, but he's also the mighty warrior who is coming as the Lion of the tribe of David. And he's going to put war to an end, and he's going to destroy these armies, and he is going to make this earth to be an absolute desolation, but he's going to rebuild it into the most glorious thing that has ever happened to mankind on earth, because he is God, and he's going to do it his way. But first, the judgment. Notice verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and lay low the haughtiness of tyrants. That's what God is going to do. It's going to be something. We need to realize what an absolute tremendous event this is going to be. Look at the prophecies we've already covered. It's, you know, mind-boggling. Look at the things that are going to happen in the book of Revelation. And we'll continue on with this series in prophecy and go on until the resurrection of the saints and the return of Christ and the saints to the earth. Verse 12, I will make man more scarce than gold, even man more than the fine gold of Ophir. You're going to ask, oh, what is God going to do with all those dead people? Did they all lose salvation? Well, that's another story. God is going to take care of them in the final analysis. But I'll just let that hang for the time being. So when we get to it, you'll understand. Verse 13, therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth shall move out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. See, that's why we are to pray, as it says there in Luke, that we may be able to escape all these things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And stand before the Son of Man is at the resurrection. So we need to ask the question, where is our hope? Where is our faith? What are we going to do? Where are we headed? Where are we going to go? How are our lives going to be? Now, we're getting closer and closer and closer to the fulfillment of these prophecies. There may be enough many years out there yet, but how many is too many? How many is long? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? What's that to God? But a blink. You know, all of us as human beings are lazy, every one of us. Don't you wait till the last possible minute to do something you know you need to do? Yes. Do you run to the store and buy a lot of things when your cupboards are full? No. You wait until they're almost empty, right? Do you fill up your gas tank when you've used just part of it, or do you wait until it's almost empty? You wait until it's almost empty. You see, human nature in doing things likes to put it off, likes to wait. Oh, well, I'll do that another day. Some are going to hear these things that we're covering on prophecy, and they're going to say, oh, this is too much. I can't stand it. Turn off church at home. I need to go find some peace. Well, what are you going to do when the real thing comes? So what are our lives? Are we coming to Christ? Are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Are we seeking to repent to God? Are we seeking to yield to God? Do we want to be in that first resurrection? What is it that we want? You know, sometimes it's real good if we sit down and have a talk with ourselves. You ever done that? Most of mine are, oh, Fred, stupid, 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 you know. We all do dumb things, right? We all do things we shouldn't do. Okay? So you need to sit down and have a talk with yourself with God. God, what is it that you want me to do? Well, Jesus says in Luke 13, he said, you remember those 18 that were killed by the Tower of Siloam? He says, I say to you, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. And how about those whom Herod slew and mix their blood with their offerings on the altar. Do you think they were sinners above all men? Jesus said, I tell you, no. But unless you likewise repent, you're going to perish. So what is our relationship with God? Who are we really serving? Are we serving the God of this world who gives us temporary benefits for worshiping and serving him? That's what Satan the devil always does. Or are we forsaking those things and repenting and coming to God and saying, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, lift me up. Oh God, cleanse my heart and my mind. Help me to love you with all my heart and soul and being. See, all of those things are involved. So it's been kind of breathtaking to go through all of these events and see what's going to happen. But you need to look to the good news, turn to Christ, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, and come to him and put your life in his hands. That's why Church at Home. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.